So before I start, two technical things. One, my talks will follow handouts, and the handouts are in a big booklet, and you must have a copy, and you should not lose it, because they're counted. I mean, I don't have enough for everyone. Jim, do you have one? Okay. And second technical comment is that my student Karine is taping this lecture, and it will be on my website eventually. And my plan is to tape all other lectures and put them on my website, unless you object. So the speakers will have to tell me that they prefer that I don't tape their lectures, if they prefer that I don't tape the lectures. You can do it after the lecture as well, you know, it doesn't have to be before the lecture. If you object, you can just tell me. I'll ask you, okay? Other than that, let me start. So, first of all, the title of my talk. So the title, the overall title you've seen, the title for today is Proj of KW of N arrows is isomorphic up to some J, or not up to some J, with some thinking about some J to the universal enveloping algebra of AN plus tither N semi-direct product tur of N. And the true meaning of this is on the right are various spaces that Alexey and Torossian study in their papers on Kashiwara and Verne, and I will define them later on. At the moment, all I want to establish is that they are isomorphic, or there is a certain space that contains all of them, and that is isomorphic to something that I will explain. Now, what is the left-hand side? So, Proj is some absolutely general algebraic construction that makes sense absolutely anywhere for anything. I mean, it's which amounts to say that it's almost like saying nothing, because it's universally exists in a huge level of universality. That's Proj. And KW is W not theory. It's a variant of not theory. So really, I will tell you that if you start from a variant of knot theory and do something nothing, or maybe something absolutely general, what you get is a space that contains everything that Alexey and Torossian, not everything, but many of the things that Alexey and Torossian care about. Later on, I will tell you that there is, so this will be probably the next lecture, I will tell you that there is some natural question to ask in this question, in this space, which when translated to the other side, becomes the equations that Alexey and Torossian may or describe how they are equivalent to the Kashiwara-Verne problem. But this will be later on, first at the level of spaces. One apology. So I was preparing this lecture, or these lectures, for a while, and I was meaning to complete everything over the last few days. Over the last few days, life interfered, and I ended up having to do other things. And as a result, I never went back, and all signs in this lecture are wrong. Furthermore, all distinctions between left and right, I made randomly and I was going to go back and fix them. Everything when I multiply on the left, I should be multiplying on the right. Or randomly, okay? Likewise, there are a few places where there is an S3 symmetry which is relevant, right? Symmetry of three things. Everything is wrong. All kind of local details are wrong. All global details are right. My apology, I just didn't have time to go back and fix it. Okay. Anyway. Good. What's now? Sorry, I don't know what happened. So, now again about the overall structure. So again, I will construct what I will call the projectivization machine. And the projectivization machine takes an arbitrary algebraic structure and converts it to a problem in graded algebra. And what I will tell you is that in general, when you feed not theoretic algebraic structures, So when you feed, say, tangles, which are an algebraic structure because you can compose them, you end up getting Lie algebra problems on the right-hand side. Okay? When you feed U-knots is what I call usual knots, you get the problem of Drupal associators. When you feed W-knots, which is what I will describe next, you get the problems related to Kashimura, Verne, Alexeyev, Enriquez, Torossian, and pictures of all of these people are on the bottom right of your handout somewhere. Okay? My dream, okay, is to show, and it's not a remote dream, it's something that's very close to reality, is to show that when you feed V-knots, or virtual knots, to be explained later, you get things related to quantum groups, and more especially the Ettinger of Kashdan theory of quantization of Levi algebras. I'm completely clueless about what to feed in so as to get the Concievich quantization of Poisson structures, though it looks like there should be something, because the problems are of similar nature. And what are my goals? So my true goals are not to stay in the world of algebra, but eventually to go back to topology. So the point, and again I will say about it a little bit later, is that this approach should at the end, though the end might come in a few years, don't expect results next month, but this approach should at the end produce some new and very good not invariants, so good in the sense that they should be computable in reasonable time, reasonably computable, and also very well behaved with respect to several operations. So first of all, I will get to add a few lines to the knot atlas. This is always a good idea. This is something that I'm always happy about. And secondly, I may be able to produce a working algebraic knot theory. I will have to explain what this is later on. But a working algebraic knot theory will actually help. It's sort of a collection of well-behaved knot invariants. And well-behaved knot invariants might help you, and this is a diagram that sort of schematically explain how, answer questions about things like ribbon knots. So there may be genuine topological interest in what I'm going to tell you about. And finally, my feeling is that at the very end, this is a more correct foundation for Ettinger-Kashdan than the foundations that they themselves use. So whether or not we will be able to reap benefits from that is to be seen. Okay, so far with philosophy. Oh, sorry, one more philosophical thing before I really start. So what are U, V, and W knots? So very schematically, U knots are ordinary knots. I don't know what. Oops, sorry. That means that there is a power problem. I truly hope no computer will shut itself down at any point. Okay, no, I don't think so. Okay, so U knots, U stands for usual, so here is a picture, the usual knot theory, okay? The usual knot theory can be thought of as knots drawn in the plane, but instead you could draw a knot on an arbitrary surface, and if you look at knots drawn on a surface, modulo, adding and removing empty handles, so these two are considered equivalent, you get what is called V-knots, V for virtual. And it turns out that every virtual knot can be considered as a certain two-dimensional knot in R4 by a process that I will soon describe, which is called tubing or suspension, raising the dimension one up. So these are W knots. There are maps from U knots to V knots to W knots. And part of the point is that all these maps at topology level translate to meaningful statements at algebra level. Okay, now let's start with the real definitions. So U knots are the usual knots. And here is a very, very, very quick definition of knot theory. Knot theory is the planar algebra, so PA stands for planar algebra, with one generator, so free generator generated by a single generator called the crossing, and modeled out by three relations. Rademeister 1, Rademeister 2, Rademeister 3. Rademeister 1 is drawn here, Rademeister 2 is drawn here, and this is Rademeister 3. Okay? And what does it mean? So, planar algebra, of course, there is a formal definition, but informally, and informally is good enough, planar algebra just means what you can do in the plane. So, you take your generator, or you take a number of copies of the generator, and then you multiply them in all possible ways in the plane. This will give you the free planar algebra generated by this generator. So, I don't know, here is a possible way to multiply these things in the plane. I don't know if this is interesting or not, but anyway, that's an example. Okay? And modding out by the relation is the obvious thing that it is. Okay? Now, to be honest, knots and links are the part of the planar algebra where at the end you have zero input and output legs. Okay? So you get so this is a link, okay, because it has two components. Okay? But if you look at the whole planar algebra without putting the restriction of zero input and output legs, you also get some further things, and I want to talk about those as well. So you will also get things like the generator itself, or maybe the generator multiplied by itself in this particular way. Okay? And these are so-called tangles. So this is a tangle. Okay. Questions about planar algebras? Okay. Now, what are virtual tangles? So virtual knots or virtual tangles are exactly the same as regular knots. So again, it's the thing generated by a single generator called the crossing and modded out by, well, traditionally Rademeister 1 is dropped, and I would like to drop it here as well. So modded out by only two relations, the Rademeister 2 and 3. And the only difference is that instead of using a planar algebra, we use a circuit algebra. What's a circuit algebra? So it's a truly natural algebraic gadget. Okay? It's the thing that electrical engineers use all the time. So circuits have components. So here is an example of a circuit, a JK flip-flop, as it's called. So it has AND gates and NOR gates. And in fact, it also has components, the dots here, which are trivalent vertices, where three conductors meet. Okay? And you can connect them to each other in any way you wish, not necessarily in the plane. So for example, over here, the two wires pass each other without interaction. You can connect any way you wish. And furthermore, it doesn't matter how the connections are embedded in R3. When you look at a genuine circuit, here it is. Here is an example of a genuine circuit. A choice is made as for how to embed the wires. Okay? But at the level of manufacturing, it matters. At the level of logic, it just doesn't matter how the wires are embedded in space. Now, more precisely, what's a circuit algebra? So, a circuit algebra, for any number n, assigns a space of circuits with n inputs and outputs. Furthermore, for every picture that looks like this, which has two input circuits, or maybe three, and a number of output components, and a single output component, like this one, and then wires coming out of the output and wires going into the inputs, and also some connections between these wires, gives you a map which maps components that can be placed in here into larger circuits which have more input or output legs. Okay? So the operate, so this so a circuit algebra is made out of many spaces, one for each n, and these are the circuits with n input outputs. And for every so-called printed circuit, so the green background here is a printed circuit, you get a map which takes small components and produces a large component. So here the small components would be the chips, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 chips. The map is green and the overall picture is the composition of the 5 components into a single big circuit. And of course the result has in itself output legs, input-output legs, and you can plug them into the motherboard of a computer, so I guess you know you can put them back into the back of this case, and you get an even bigger circuit. So that's a circuit algebra. So is the definition clear? Okay. So of course everything can be made more formal at the cost of spending more time. So now back to virtual nodes and links. So these are in fact also tangles. So this is the circuit algebra with one generator. So the one generator is again a crossing. So a typical virtual node you will get by taking a number of copies of the crossing, and then you connect them, but you connect them as if they were electric circuits. So you connect them in any way you wish, not caring about planarity. So that's a typical virtual knot. Now, and then you mod out by the usual Rademeister moves. Now, this is all abstract, okay? Circuits don't exist in the plane. Circuits are abstract things. But you can project them to the plane. If you project to the plane, you get the crossings, which are genuine, the components. These are like transistors. And you also get virtual crossings, these crossings, which are not real crossings, they're just the way you've projected things. Okay? So an alternative view of virtual nodes is to say that this is the circuit algebra. Sorry, it's the circuit algebra as before, but an alternative view is to say that this is the planar algebra with two generators. The first generator is the crossing, and the second generator is the virtual crossing. And then you mod out by Rademeister 2 and 3 as before, and by further relations, which really mean that the virtual crossing doesn't really exist, doesn't really matter. Okay? So you mod out by virtual Rademeister 1, 2, and 3, so you can move virtual crossings freely across each other because they don't really exist. And you mod out by the so-called detour move, which says that you can move a virtual crossing past a genuine component. Okay? In electronics, the parallel of that would be the statement that if you want to connect this output leg of this circuit, of this component, to this output leg of this component, you could go either above one of the components or below. It just doesn't matter. Okay? So, just define virtual nodes. Now, let me tell you about one relation that you tend to think should hold but doesn't. Okay? So this is the overcrossing commute relation shown over here. Okay? So, forget equality theory, replace it in your mind briefly by an inequality. In virtual nodes, this is not equal to that, and that's a bit counterintuitive, because it says, because you see, if the virtual crossing doesn't exist, why should it matter whether you go above it or below it? Okay? But it does matter. And the reason is that what I care about is the things that do exist, the genuine crossings, and these two tangles are different even from the perspective of the genuine crossings. Why? Well, you see, on the tangle here, if you start on the left and go to the right along black, you first go over blue and then over red. Okay? And here you first go over red and then over blue. So completely ignoring this crossing, there is a distinction between these two tangles. This is blue, then red, this is red, then blue. These are different. These are different electric circuits. So therefore, in virtual nodes, this is not equal to this. Okay? And likewise, if you replace overcrossings by undercrossings everywhere. Okay? Now, W tangles are the quotients of V tangles by adding this relation. You add overcrossings commute, but you break the symmetry between over and under, so you do not mod out by undercrossings commute. Okay? So, now that looks, might look a bit artificial, but here is a picture that might make it more natural. So, W tangles turn out to describe two-dimensional tubes in R4. So what's a two-dimensional tube in R4? Well, R4 can be projected to the three dimensions and then to two dimensions. Right, this is the platform of two dimensions, dimensional in many ways. So there are several ways to depict W nodes. Maybe the most fun is to look at R4 as a movie of R3s. And then a tube becomes a movie of rings. Okay, a ring flying around in R3. If you have two rings in R3, there are three ways, in fact, to exchange them. One way is to go, one goes through the other. My hand is not a part of the picture. Okay? Another way is the other way around. Okay? So one over the other, or the other over the first. And another way is to just exchange them. Now, exchanging them has no further topological information. I mean, if you exchange this way, it's the same as exchanging that way, because you can interpolate by exchanging that way. However, going through has genuinely two distinct flavors. There is an up and there is an over and an under ring. Okay? So this is one movie and this is the other movie. The first movie corresponding to the genuine crossing is blue going through red. And again, the bigger one is the one that I draw as over. And the second movie is they just pass through each other, and it doesn't matter which one is bigger and which one is smaller. Okay?
Yes?
W stands for welded or weakly virtual or warm-up. Because from my perspective, W is really warm-up for V, which is the...
It's the same as welded.
Yes. No, V is not welded. But
no, W.
W is welded, but it's also weakly virtual and also warm up for me. Okay? Here's another way of viewing this. So, you know what? Forget the topological definition, but here is another two-dimensional way of drawing these four-dimensional things. So you just draw a ribbon. And then if you want to get the four-dimensional thing out of it, you take the ribbon and make it into two parallel membranes, and you take one of the membranes and you sort of curve it, you lift it up in R4 and the other membrane and lift it down in R4. So this becomes a tube where you kind of took one membrane and pushed it up in R4 and the other membrane you pushed behind in R4. Okay? And then this would be a legitimate thing in R4 because there would be no singularity here in R4, I mean this would not be crossing itself, because you could take the inner one, the inner ribbon, and lift it a little less than the outer one, and then in R4 they do not intersect. On the other hand, this cannot occur in R4, or if it would occur, there will be some genuine intersection along this little line. And finally, in R4, this is equivalent to that. In R3, they're not equivalent. In R4, they are. Okay? And in this image, in this picture, you can understand overcrossings commute quite well. So here is overcrossings commute, right? These are two overcrossings. One, two, this is a virtual crossing. This is a virtual crossing and the overcrossing is in the other order, and topologically these two are clearly the same. However, if you try to do the same with undercrossings, so if you take the undercrossings means that the understrand is the smaller one. So if you put the smaller one through the bigger one and then try to push it up, it comes out on the other way, on the other side, kind of twisted with itself, and therefore this relation does not hold. Whereas that one does. There is also a nice picture for why the ordinary Rademeister 2 and 3 rules hold. So, you know, if you have two rings, flying rings, Rademeister 2 is the statement that if you flip and flip back, you've done nothing. And Rademeister 3 is the statement that if you have three rings, one big, one medium, one small, and you want to interchange all of them, then, well, I don't have three hands and I don't want to get a volunteer this time, but, you know, doing it in one way, and then, well, it's the same as the other way, and you can, well, later you can borrow my rings and play with it and convince yourself that this is true. Okay, that was generalities. Sorry, that was the topology that I care about. Quick introduction to the topology that I care about. Is this fine? So I just told you what KW is. Now I want to tell you what is the general algebraic machine, the projectivization machine, that I will be applying to this topology. Okay? So, again, what I'm going to tell you now is so general that it's parallel to saying nothing. Okay? So an algebraic structure is practically anything. Okay? It's a set... I should never touch this. So it's a collection of sets of objects. So you have objects of type 1, objects of type 2, objects of type 3, objects of type 4. So you know if the algebraic structure is a vector space, module, then one type of object would be the elements of the ring, and another type of object would be the elements of the module. Okay? So it has many types of objects, and then various operations going between them. So there could be a unary operation taking objects of type 1 to objects of type 2. This is psi 1. There could be binary operations that take objects of type 1 and objects of type 2 and produce objects of type 3. So in a module, for example, you have a ring multiplication, but you also have a multiplication of something in the module with something in the ring. Okay? And you might even have a nullary operation. Nullary means zero-ary operation. So operations that take no inputs but produce an output. So this would be constants. So like several of the sets might have constants in them. That's an algebraic structure. There may be some axioms, okay, as well. Now, in my context, I will always allow formal linear combinations. So if I tell you about an algebraic structure, automatically you should allow yourself to consider formal linear combinations with coefficients in the rationals, and you automatically extend all operations to be linear if they're unary, or bilinear if they're bilinear, or if they're binary, or multilinear in general. Okay? So example of an algebraic structure is a circuit algebra. Sorry, that's a type of an algebraic structure. Circuit algebra is a type of an algebraic structure. Example of a specific algebraic structure is the circuit algebra of virtual tangles. And in fact, that's the type of examples that I care about. Okay? Now, whenever you have an algebraic structure, there is a notion of a filtered algebraic structure. So a filtered algebraic structure will be an algebraic structure K along with a decreasing sequence of substructures. Saying substructure just means a subspace which is closed under all the operations. Whenever you have a filtered algebraic structure, you can make it associated graded. It's associated graded, it's just a direct sum. When I write a direct sum, it's always completed. So I always go to infinity. Okay? So it will be the direct sum of the quotients of the filtered subspaces. So the degree 3 piece in Ger of K will be K3 modulo K4, like here. Okay? So this always exists. Now, sorry, always when you have a filtration. Now, an expansion is a filtered map from K to Ger K. Now, what does filtered map mean? Well, Ger K is in itself filtered. You can declare that the second filtration subspace of Ger K is the stuff that are appearing from K2 mod K3 and on. Okay? These are completely standard definition in graded algebra. Okay? So a filtered structure, a filtered map is a map Z from here to here, which maps filtration degree 7 pieces here to filtration degree 7 pieces here. So it means, for example, that it will map K2 into K2 mod K3, direct sum K3 mod K4, and so on. So it will map anything to what's below it and further. Okay? So that's a filtered Z. And I wanted to cover the identity on Ger K. Now, what does it mean? Ger is a functor. So you can apply Ger to Z. And so you get Ger Z, and Ger Z will be going from Ger K to Ger of K. Ger of K is K. So Z, is Ger K. Sorry, Ger K is Ger K. And therefore, Ger Z goes from Ger K to itself, and I want it to be the identity. That's an expansion. Expansions always exist. At least if everything is finite dimensional, if all the quotients are finite dimensional, I don't want to commit myself to other situations, but I think it's general. Expansions always exist. A homomorphic expansion is an expansion, the operations on K automatically descend to operations on Ger of K, and then a homomorphic expansion is an expansion which intertwines the operations of K with the operations of Ger K. That doesn't always exist. It's rather special when it does. Many times it doesn't exist. Okay? Now, let me add something. In reality, Ger K is often too hard to understand. Like, it's often just too complicated. So it's relatively easy, in reality, to make a guess for Ger K. So you find a generating set rather easily, and then you find that this generating set satisfies some relations, But it's, in reality, usually very difficult to show that you found all the relations. So an A expansion is a guess for for what jerk A is, along with an expansion. And let me be precise. An A expansion is a graded space A with a surjection A going into jerk A. Surjection A going into jerk A just means that we found all generators of jerk A, and we don't know if we found all the relations. Okay? So, and a filtered map going from K into A. So you also have a map going from K into A, not from jerk A, from K itself into A, for which ger of Z, so ger of Z will go to ger K into A, so it should be a one-sided inverse of tau, of the projection into ger K. Now, if you find such a Z, then you've done two things at once. Because, first of all, you see, tau was a surjection to start with. If you find a Z with this property, it means that tau is also an injection. So tau is an isomorphism. So A is isomorphic to ger of K. And with this isomorphism in mind, Z is an expansion. Okay? So in reality, you never look for an expansion from Z, from K to ger K, but rather you make a guess for what ger K is, you call it A, and you look for an expansion with values in A. You'll see examples, concrete examples in a minute. This one is truly fun, but I want to go through it very quickly, so this is just for fun. Here's what my image of a graded space is. It can be made completely concrete, okay, but the point is that a graded space is where you view reality with finer and finer detail as you wait. And the graded pieces are the extra information that you need to transmit in any given time. And an expansion is a choice of a way of transmitting reality day by day, so that in day n you've transmitted all the information that was before, but on day n itself you don't repeat information that you've transmitted before. And in fact, this is useful for computer communication, and that's why when you in old time when you used to look at pictures appearing on the web via modems, they would sort of appear like finer and finer. There is a hidden expansion when you do it on the in this procedure. Okay, so, but again, I don't want to say more about it. And then the final general algebraic thing that I want to say is that, I said, you might think that filtered algebraic structures are hard to come by, but no. Every algebraic structure automatically comes with a filtration. So the input for my machine is just an algebraic structure. And the reason is that whenever you have an algebraic structure K, you allow formal linear combinations. I told you about this already. And then you let K1 be the augmentation ideal. So it's the ideal generated by differences of elements of K. Or alternatively, it's the ideal generated by linear combinations in which the sum of coefficients is equal to zero. And then you let Km be the mth power of K1. So what does it mean? So K3, for example, would be everything you can get by taking 3 elements in K1, right, I'm talking now about K3, multiplying them using all available operations, and then also multiplying them, because I want it to be an ideal, with further elements of K. So maybe I could look at all products like this, using all available operations in which 3 of the inputs are in K1. All such algebraic structure. Okay? So every algebraic structure automatically comes with a filtration. If you take this filtration and use it to produce the associated gradient, I'll call the result prog of K. Okay? So therefore, whenever you have an algebraic structure, it automatically comes with a graded space, prog of K, and a problem in graded algebra. The problem is there a homomorphic expansion going from K to prog of K? Okay. Examples, and I think I want to do it very quickly because I'm probably running out of time. So, if you do it to a group, you automatically get a graded associative algebra. If you do it to the group of pure grades, it takes some work, but you get the standard, what is it called, Drinfeld-Kono algebra, which is the ring generated by, the algebra generated by Tij's, modulo the relation Tij plus Tik plus Tjk is equal to zero. Sorry, the commutator of Tij with Tik plus Tjk is equal to zero, and also some lesser relations. And finally, I love the following example, but I really don't have time to describe it. If you do this to a quandl is one of the nicest and underrated algebraic structures there are, but it's an algebraic structure that satisfies these axioms, you get a so-called Leibniz algebra. A Leibniz algebra is essentially a Lie algebra, except you drop the anti-symmetry condition. You keep the Jacobi identity, but drop the anti-symmetry condition. And now let's move on and talk about our specific situation. Any questions before that? So again, I've finished talking about Kw. N arrows means that I'm talking about tangles that have N strands in them. At the end, I told you about prog, and now I want to tell you that this projectivization is isomorphic to the, so this is a certain graded space, and I want to tell you that it's isomorphic to the universal enveloping algebra of something that has to do with Alexeyev and Torossian. Okay, consider the mth step. The mth step in prog K is the mth power of the augmentation ideal modulo by the m plus first power of the augmentation ideal. Okay? This, by the way, you know, for people who know about finite time invariants, this is exactly the dual of Vm modulo Vm minus 1. So this is exactly the dual of, so this is exactly the space of degree n weighted steps. Okay? But if you haven't seen finite type invariants, ignore this. I want to study Im modulo Im plus 1. As I said, there is an easy way to produce a surjection into Im modulo Im plus 1. The surjection is a surjection from the space dm, where dm is the degree m piece of the circuit algebra generated by circuits that have plus arrows and negative arrows as their generators. So what's dm? So to make a general element of dm, you take m arrows, so here's one, here's two, and let m be two, and then you connect them in any way you wish. That's a circuit algebra, right? But a more reasonable way of drawing the same thing is to just start with the lines and then draw the arrows in any way you wish. So AM is the space of diagrams which have M arrows on them. Each arrow is marked with a little plus or with a little minus, and then the arrows are put together in any way you wish. Okay? This space surjects on I am modulo I am plus 1 by mapping the positive arrow to so-called the positive semi-virtual, which is by definition the difference of an overcrossing with a no crossing. Okay? So it's basically the generator minus the identity, the no crossing thing. Okay? So, and likewise, the negative arrow is the same as you take the undercrossing. I suppose I've added orientations, so the generator split into two generators, the positive generator and the negative, the positive crossing and the negative crossing. It's clearly surjective, and right, because this is the generator of the of IM, so if you have M arrows, you fall into I to the M. And the next challenge is to find the kernel. Now I'm going to describe a subspace, Rm, of the kernel, and the problem is precisely whether we found all of it. If Rm is the whole kernel, it means that Dm modulo Rm is Im modulo Im plus 1, and I'm done. Okay? Now, how do you find Rm? Well, there is an imperfect thumb rule, and which unfortunately is sometimes false. In this case, it's correct, but it requires a proof. Okay? And the thumb rule is that you take all the relations that appear in the definition of K, and in each relation is made out of crossings. A product of crossings is equal to some other product of crossings. So in every product, you replace a crossing by an identity plus an arrow, and then you look at the lowest degree terms that don't immediately cancel. So for example, when you do it to the R3 move, to the R3 relation, right, here is R3, oops, you see that's a sign that I'm getting panicked because my time is almost up. Therefore, I should slow down. So, if you do it to the Rajamaster 3 relation, each crossing will become a sum of nothing or a purple arrow. So, overall, this will become 8 terms, and this will become also 8 terms. The terms in which you have nothing everywhere cancel automatically because of the virtual Rajamaster move. So you're left with 7 on both sides. The term in which you have 1 purple arrow and 2 nothings also cancel automatically because in Rajamaster 3 moves there is a bijection between the crossings here and the crossing here. So this crossing corresponds to this one corresponds to that one, and they're the same, so they cancel. And what is left is, or the lowest degree piece that is left is this sum, which corresponds to the degree 2 piece of the left-hand side, is equal to the sum over there, which is the degree 2 piece of the right-hand side. You do likewise for the Rajamaster 2 move, and it tells you that an arrow with a plus is the negative of an arrow with a minus. So therefore, from this point on, I will forget the signs, and just, if ever you get a minus sign, you replace it with a plus sign, with a cost of an overall minus sign. The overcrossing's commute relation becomes the tail's commute relation over here. So if you have 2 arrows, their tails, you can exchange the position of their tails. Okay? But there is no head commutes relation. And finally, if you look more closely at the 6-term relation, you find that the first term here and the first term here and the last term here are the same except the tails of these arrows are organized in the opposite way. But once you impose tails commute, the first and the last are equal. So you can drop these two and replace the six-term relation that is written here by the so-called four-term relation. And the four-term relation is just, well, what you have left. Okay? And a different way of saying, a different way of viewing the four-term relation is the following. You can think of it as saying that this arrow, okay, which appears in all four diagrams, here, 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 and here, commutes with the sum of the other two. Right? So this plus that multiplied with this arrow gives you the same thing, but the product is happening in the other order. Okay? Right, so I suppose the conjecture would be that prog of W naught is arrow diagrams modulo the relations shown here. I think I'm running out of time. I think I was given 50 minutes, right? So,
can you even be
5 minutes? Okay, so let me prove the conjecture and or prove this ansatz, and then tell you what the rest would have been, and actually do the rest in the next hour. Okay? So, to prove the conjecture, now I have a guess. Call this guess A. Now I need to build an A expansion. An A expansion should be a map which is defined on W naughts. Here is a typical W naught. In fact, W tangle. So this one has one component, but you could have more. And with values in arrow diagrams. The map will be, and with some universal property. The map will be when you map this A W naught into the sum of arrow diagrams that you get by taking the same skeleton and ignoring the virtual crossings. You do nothing near the virtual crossings, but near every genuine crossing, you put a whole exponential reservoir of arrows. What's an exponential reservoir of arrows? Well, it's the obvious thing. So, an exponential reservoir of arrows, so it's denoted by an arrow with a slash on it, just stands for, you take the empty diagram plus the empty diagram with one arrow plus 1 over 2 factorial, the diagram with two arrows, and so on. When you do it to all crossings, and the negative crossings you do with e to the minus an arrow, which has the obvious meaning, when you do it to all crossings, you get some huge sum of arrow diagrams, and I claim that it is well-defined. I claim that it is an invariant of W naughts. It turns out that the only relation that's not completely trivial is the Rademeister III relation, and even the Rademeister III relation is completely trivial. So, the Rademeister III relation amounts to saying that, like, the Rademeister III relation in general means that if you multiply three crossings in two possible ways, you get the same thing. When you translate it, when you apply Z, it becomes saying that. I wish I was taller, you know. It becomes saying that the product of these three arrow reservoirs is equal to the product of these three arrow reservoirs. Okay, so I have to show that modulo the relations I have, this is equal to that. Indeed, This commutes with, right, tails commute, so these arrows commute with these. And the product of an exponential is the exponential of the sum. This is what this notation means. Now, this sum commutes with this arrow. That's the 4t relation. So the logarithm of this, or the single, the degree one piece here, commutes with the degree one piece here. And therefore, the exponentials commute. So this commutes with that, so you can bring it to be this way. And then you can unpack this combination to be that, again, because of tails commute, QED. We've shown invariants under Rider Master 4. By the way, Alexeyev and Torossian should recognize it as the statement that their element R satisfies the Rider Master 3 move. Okay. You know, just one word, and I may say about it more. The invariant that you get here, you know, a priori it's not interesting, but if you study it more, it turns out to dominate the Alexander polynomial, and likely by much. So likely it much dominates the Alexander polynomial. But again, the details would have to be elsewhere. I'm out of time. In my next lecture, I will quickly tell you that A has an interpretation in terms of has relationships with Wheelie algebras, has an alternative description in terms of wheels and trees. Wheels are what Alexeyev and Torossian call ter-n. Trees are what they call tder-n. And at the end, we will have the statement that we wanted. So, okay. You know, I think I'll just tweet the statement that we wanted was the ach, was the title of this lecture. So, to be continued. Thank you.
Is there any question? Comment?
We have more questions. Okay, thank you again.